Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn with me again to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And then, of course, keep your Bible marked to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Let me read, this is kind of our focus passage for this series as we're talking about created for what. Beginning with verse 26 in Genesis 1, it says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Now, I'm reading tonight from the New Living Translation, in case you were wondering. I know in the discipleship training, Chris asked, he said, "Hey, are you using a different translation?" Yes, I am. I guess my Bible is with the offering plates. And so the only Bible I had in my office to get it was the New Living Translation. It was sitting there on my desk. I said, okay, I'm going to grab it. So I brought it with me tonight. But last week, we saw the first reason why we were created. And we saw that God created us in his image. God created us so that we would project him, so that we would reflect his image. And we realize that we get that distorted, that gets messed up by sin in our life. And so we're not projecting the right image that God wants us to project. So how does God fix that? Well, God fixes that through Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we are made back to the image that God intends for us to be. That is the first reason why God has created us. But God has created us for another reason. Now, I know this has happened to all of us. At some point in time in our lives, we have spent late nights tossing and turning, trying to get to sleep. We can't sleep. We've got all this on our mind. And what's on our mind is a relationship that has gone bad, a relationship that's gone sour. You know, relationship problems can really mess us up sometimes. If we've got into it with somebody at work or a family member, or we're just not getting along for some reason, you know, these relationships are something that we think about. Well, guess what? God created us for relationships. God created us so that we would relate to one another. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, it's very interesting. All through those chapters, all through these verses, God is saying what he created was good. Everything's good. Life is good. Creation is good. And then in verse 18, God says, but there's something that's not good. And what is it that that's not good? Well, I want to read it in chapter 2, verse 18 of Genesis. He says this. He says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It is not good for us not to have relationships." I know that relationships sometimes can be messy. I know that relationships sometimes can be hard, but they're not optional. We cannot fulfill God's purpose in our life apart from relationships, apart from a relationship with him, apart from relationships with each other. And I know sometimes they get messed up. Well, guess what? God's fix for the image problem is the same fix that he has for our relationship issues, and that is Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, I want us to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. I'm going to read it here. This is Paul writing at the end of this letter to the church at Thessalonica, and he says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Years ago, there was a man by the name of J. Allen Peterson. J. Allen Peterson actually wrote a book that has a great title, The Myth About Always Greener. The Myth About Always Greener. And he talked about how the grass is not always greener on the other side, or that that's just a misperception that we have. And his expertise was in marriage and family relationships. And he was used to traveling all around the world. Well, one night he found himself in Brazil, and he had booked a flight on coming back to the United States. And sure enough, he got on that flight. It took off okay, 747. Well, once it got in the air, they experienced all kind of engine problems. Three of the four engines went bad. The fourth engine was barely hanging on. And the flight, the pilot and co-pilot let everybody know that they were going to have to make emergency landing. They were going to have to return back to the airport that they took off from. But they needed to prepare for emergency procedures. And so all the flight crew got everybody in position for emergency procedures. If you've ever flown before, you know what that is. You know, you put your head down between your legs. You put your legs underneath your seat or underneath your or arms your legs underneath your seat or your arms underneath your legs, and you just kind of sit there. And they tell you this thing over and over. Prepare for impact. They had everybody put all their windows down so you couldn't see outside. They didn't know how close they were to actually hitting. All that they were saying over and over again was brace for impact, prepare for impact. And he said all around the plane, people were praying. He said a lot of people were praying in Portuguese, but people were praying for different things. But he said the interesting thing to him at that moment was he was not thinking about the broken photocopier at work. He wasn't thinking about how bad his baseball team that he follows was doing. He was not thinking about anything that had to do with work. At that time, he was thinking about who was going to take care of his family. He was thinking about, God, please watch over my family. As a matter of fact, he prayed, God, thank you for allowing me to serve you. If this is in fact it, just thank you for the opportunity that I've had to serve you. And when he landed safely, they got through the flight safely. When he landed safely, it occurred to him that as he was listening to prayers on that flight, everybody was essentially praying for the same thing. They were praying about the relationships that they had in their life. Because the bottom line is, it's the relationships really that matter. And so here in the time that we have tonight, I think I used seven today. Joanne Shake was so proud of herself after the service today. She wrote down all seven things on that bulletin. She was actually able to fit it in. Well, we're going to go over seven things again tonight. There are seven guidelines that Paul gives us here for how to have healthy relationships. If God created us, and since God created us for relationships, how do we have healthy relationships? Well, the first thing that he says here is this. We need to respect those or honor those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard. Now, who do you think that they're talking about there? Thank you, Mike, for nodding. Mike smiling said, oh, Eddie, you're trying to pull them in. Well, if you're thinking I'm talking about pastors, you're wrong. Actually, I heard about a pastor. There was a pastor, bless his heart, a pastor that went to the hospital. He got sick and went to the hospital, and the first person to come in and see him from the church was the chairman of the deacons. And the chairman of the deacons came into the room there and said, well, Pastor, we took a vote, and we took a vote to see if we would pray for your recovery, and it passed 12-7. We prayed that we will pray for your recovery. And I thought, and I can honestly say that I've never been in that position at Panther Creek Baptist Church. If anything I can say for Panther Creek in my time here is that you have loved me and you have supported me. I have never felt the love and support anywhere that I felt at Panther Creek. So I'm not here tonight to say, you know what, you need to do more love and respect and honor to the pastor. I'm not going to say that tonight. But what I am going to say is that when people feel calm to do something in the church, whether it's Sunday school teacher, whether it's deacon or trustee or leading the music or WMU director or volunteering to do something to lead in some kind of way or some kind of ministry, we need to respect them. We need to honor them, not just for the simple reason that they're doing something. We need to do it because they're working hard at it. You know, they're really trying hard. He says here, don't just respect pastors because they're pastors. Respect those who work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. You know, I mean, that's the people that we need to respect. If we're going to have healthy relationships, we need to respect each other, is what he's saying here. Number two, the second thing we need to do if we're going to have healthy relationships is we need to live peacefully with each other. We need to live peacefully with each other. I mentioned today in Sunday school class, we talked about in Sunday school why we're here and one of the things that helps us with distractions. We talked about why do leaders fall? Why do people mess up? Why do we have flaws? Why do we do the wrong thing? Why do we sin? Why do we do all these things? Well, I'll tell you why we do all these things. We do all these things because we get distracted and we lose focus on the main thing. If the main thing is that goal right there and I need to go toward that, then that's exactly what I need to do. And in the church, the main thing is Jesus Christ. And we need to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's how we live peacefully with each other. We all hear stories, don't we? We hear these horror stories about churches that get so distracted over little things. There's a rumor going around. I've never heard if it's really true. But near Katy's, Kentucky, there's a rumor that in 1890, there was a church that started over there by the name of No Peg Baptist Church. You ever heard of No Peg Baptist Church? And how do you come up with a name like No Peg Baptist Church? Well, this is how they got their name. They got their name because years ago, my grandfather, I think I've shared this with you, was actually one of these. Years ago, they had such a thing as circuit riders. And circuit riders would go from church to church and community to community because a lot of churches didn't have enough money to fully support a full-time pastor or a pastor that could stay right there in that area. So pastors would go from church to church and help these little churches and support these little churches. They were called circuit riders. And so they had a circuit rider in near Katy's, Kentucky, and they went to this Baptist church one time. And while he was there, one of the deacons said, he watched him with his coat. He saw him throw his coat as it was wet over the pew. He said, you know what? I'm going to help that guy out. So the next time he comes, I'm going to put a peg in the back near the door so that when he comes in, he can take off his coat and he can just hang it on that peg. And sure enough, everything was fine until another deacon found out that he did that. He realized he didn't consult me and ask me if this was okay before he did it. And he got upset about it, and the church split over it. And after everybody left that was for the deacon doing that, after everybody left that was for that, they removed the peg and thereafter referred to themselves as No Peg Baptist Church. And I hear stories like that, and I think, man, that is so not us. We are a church, thankfully, of unity. We are a church that has learned that we need to live peacefully with each other. If we're going to have healthy relationships, it takes seeking and making sure that we live at peace with each other. Number three, we need to empower others to be productive. Paul wrote, warn those who are idle. I think in the translation that I used, he said here that that we need to urge to warn those who are lazy. Actually, the word is unruly. It is a word that the Roman army would use for people who had gone AWOL, who people had turned away from their duties. And so really what it means here is that we need to empower those who need to be productive. If we had a family member that we followed home tonight, and we watched this family member drive home, and we were behind them, and they were in the car in front of us, and all of a sudden we saw them swerving, all of a sudden we saw them having difficulty staying on the road, we'd probably figure out that, hey, they're getting drowsy. They're falling asleep. And what would you do if you saw a family member doing that? Well, you'd probably bright your lights. You'd probably honk your horn. You'd get on the phone. You'd call them. Hey, wake up. You're going all over the road. What is going on? Well, the same is true when it comes to each other. The same is true when it comes to church. We need to lovingly encourage people to get back on track. We need to lovingly encourage people to be productive again. That is what he's saying here, that we need to empower others to be productive. Number four, we need to encourage those who are afraid. We need to encourage those who are afraid. He says, encourage those who are timid. Now, he's not saying people timid like they're shy. He's saying, encourage those people who feel like quitting. We need to encourage those people who feel like throwing in the towel. We need to encourage those people who feel like just giving up. In the Francis Schaeffer Institute, they reported here recently that 75% of pastors who start out in the ministry will drop out in the first 10 years. I'll say that's just probably more than pastors. That's worship leaders, right, Steve, John? You know, that's everybody in ministry. 75% of pastors who start out in the ministry will drop out in the first 10 years. Only 1 in 10 pastors who start out will actually retire in the ministry. And I'm sure that's true with any job. Any job, you know, people get burnt out and people, it's hard. People need them to tell, or need us to tell them, you're doing a good job. You know, yesterday I was talking with a guy. I won't say what job he was doing, but he was sharing with me some of the things, some of the ideas that he's had in his job, and I just felt like that he was looking for a response. And I just told him, you know what, you're really good at what you do. You know, I've seen other people, like, you're really, really good at what you do. And he said, oh, shucks, you know, it's nothing. I really enjoy what I'm doing. But I thought about that, and I thought more people need us to really tell them that they're really doing a good job, that we really appreciate it. People need to be encouraged. We need to encourage those who are feeling like giving up. We need to support those who are weak. Paul writes here, we need to take tender care of those who are weak. The King James Version actually says we need to support the weak. I like that translation if you have the King James Version tonight, because that's literally what it's talking about there. We need to hold up people that are really struggling, that are having a difficult time. If you watch football today, I saw something in a football game today that I've never seen before. Maybe you watched it too. If you were watching the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens, I actually saw a guy completely knocked out. I've never seen that on TV before. If you watch Mason Randolph or Rudolph, the quarterback for the Steelers, when he was hit, he just went down like a rag doll. I mean, he just fell completely down. And he was out for a good 30, 45 seconds, just out cold. As a matter of fact, several of his teammates were crying. I think they thought he passed away on the field because there was no response to him at all. When they finally got him up, if you were watching it, the cart broke down on the field. They could not take him off on the cart. So what they did was they picked him up and they carried him, kind of helped him walk when he can finally get back on his feet. They helped him walk off the field. Now, I looked at that picture and I thought, that's exactly what we're talking about. They were supporting somebody who was weak. And we need to do that in the church. You know, I mean, people have struggles. People have hard times. They really need us to come alongside them and hold them up and pick them up. They need buddies. Number 6, we're almost there. We need to be patient with everyone. We need to be patient with everyone. I said tonight, one of the things that I'm so thankful for at Panther Creek Baptist Church is that you have been patient with me. I know there are times that I say things that are cringeworthy. I know there are times I do things that are cringeworthy. You wish, oh, why did he do something like that? But you have allowed me a lot of patience, and I really appreciate that. And I don't do these things just to make us cringe. Sometimes I do these things because I really want us to see the church and God's word in light of where we are as a culture, you know? But you have been extremely patient with me, and I'm so thankful for that, because we're in a culture that's not very patient. Have you ever wondered about this? 250 years ago, if we missed a stagecoach, we'd just say, I'll get the next one in 2 or 3 days. No big deal. I'll stay in town a few days. Piece of cake. 75 years ago, if we missed a train, I'll get the next one in 6 to 8 hours. Piece of cake. No big deal. If we miss the stoplight and it cycles through without us being able to go now, we've hit that steering wheel. We have lost patience. We are not as patient as we used to be. And so it does take effort in order for us to be patient, but we really need to. I know there are people that get on our nerves. I know there are people that frustrate us and agitate us, but it really takes patience if we're going to have healthy relationships. And number 7, the last one is, we need to be kind to those who've wronged us. We need to be kind to those who've wronged us. Whenever we've been wronged, It's human instinct to want to respond. We do. Revenge is a human instinct. If somebody were to push us, if somebody were to come up and accidentally run into us, the first thing we'd do is we'd want to put our hands up to kind of block what they were trying to do. That would be a human instinct. And if they knocked us back, we'd want to put our hands down to catch ourselves. That would be a natural instinct. It's also a natural instinct for us to, when we're emotionally attacked, for us to want to defend ourselves, for us to want to respond back and say, well, same to you, or something. But we have got to be kind to those who have wronged us, because relationships matter. They do. Sometimes we think, well, we've got to build this long-term relationship in order for it to make an impact. No, we don't. We really just need to relate to others. Be kind, be loving, be welcoming to people who need it, be supportive of people who need it. I don't know the circumstances yet, but I shared in discipleship training, I'll close with this. I shared in discipleship training tonight that I had something happen this past week, another one of those first in ministries. I keep thinking that I'm going to stop having first in ministries, but this past week I had something happen for the first time in my ministry that I've ever had happen before. This past week I got an email from somebody. They emailed the church, and I didn't know them. They just emailed the church. They had our email address from somewhere. They emailed the church, and they said this: I'm a language arts teacher at Ojai County Middle School. I teach 8th grade. This past week, my young son surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And she said, I don't go to church anywhere. She said, I don't have a church home. She said, I would love to come and baptize my son, or have my son baptized in your church. Would you all be willing to baptize our son, even though we don't have a church home? And of course, you know, I said, no, we don't do stuff like that around here. No, of course I didn't. I said, absolutely, we would love to do something like that. I said, is there an opportunity that I would have to sit down and talk with him? I sent him back a message. I said, if you could call me, that would be great. She called me in 2 minutes. She called me in 2 minutes and said, yeah, let's do this. She said, the only thing is, we're going on fall break. And she said, so we'll be on fall break, but we're going to be back Monday, tomorrow. She said, so could I call you and let's set up a time for us to get together? And I said, that would be awesome. And I asked her, I said, so by the way, why Panther Creek? Why would you come here? And you know what she told me? She said, we did. She said, we came for Vacation Bible School this year. She said, we came there every day. Our son was in Vacation Bible School. I saw you all. And it was through that relationship, which probably most of us would think, that's not even a relationship at all. That's hi and see you later, you know. But through that encounter, we were able to make an impact with a family that who knows what God will do. That's why relationships matter. That's why what we do is so important. I'm thankful. We were created to relate. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30, but if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.